a busy time for boxing at the moment, and you're busy yourself. Just tell us a little bit about what you're up to at the minute.
Yeah, I'm just on my way back from Manchester. Just been over to Manchester with a couple of our lads. What a fighting. I've got Jamie Robinson, Ginger Rocket, who's fighting on Kell Brook's show. And then the week after, I've got Mahid Fazeldin fighting for the Commonwealth title. And then Sam O'Mason is also fighting on the bill. So, busy times ahead.
Yeah, so real busy times at the moment. And we're into a nice patch of some real big fights as well. We had the first of them last weekend in Colframpton against Scott Quigg. Obviously, didn't set the world alight, that fight, but what did you make of it generally as a spectacle?
Well, like you say, it never lived up to expectation. Everybody thought it was going to be a big barnstorming fight, and to be fair, it was a bit of a letdown. I did pick Carl Frampton to win late or win on points, and he did so, but I didn't expect it to be just, you know, so quiet as what it were. I mean, it took like after round eight, it started getting a little bit spicy, but before that, Carl Frampton just made it look so easy.
Were you surprised that Scott Quigg took so long to get going? Obviously, he broke his jaw in the fourth round, but even before then, did you expect him to come out faster?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to look at someone who's in a massive, massive fight and how they're going to handle it. To me, it looked like the occasion got to Scott Quigg slightly. You know, it was a massive, massive fight in Manchester. Box office, sold the place out. Whether the occasion got to Scott Quigg slightly, who knows? But obviously, breaking your jaw in round four, do you know what I mean? I've never been in that situation. I've never had my jaw broke like that. So it'd be unfair to me to say how Scott Quigg should have been feeling. But that must have really, really, you know, set Scott back quite a lot, and being in a hell of a lot of pain. But you know, he seemed to forget all that pain after round eight and tried pushing it a little bit more. But like you say, it never took light, and to me, a bit of a letdown for the fans.
Yeah, certainly. In terms of the future for both, it looks like Carl Frampton potentially maybe eyeing that step up to featherweight and Santa Cruz. And Scott Quigg obviously got some time out now while he recovers from the broken jaw. Do you ever see them clashing again at all?
I mean, I listened to a few interviews after, and I listened to what Eddie Hearn said, and he was honest in what he said, and he said, to be fair, it doesn't justify a rematch. Which I agree. Now, if they both go down different routes, maybe have two fights each, you know, both fight really well, and then maybe it sets up for another rematch, who knows? But it doesn't justify a rematch straight away. I think they both, Carl Frampton will go on to bigger and better things. He's now double world champion, IBF and WBA champion. Scott Quigg obviously has to rebuild, and you know, he has to let his injury, his jaw heal and everything like that, and then maybe in the next year, 18 months, who knows, if they're both doing well and winning well again, maybe a rematch down the line.
Yeah, we'll see on that one. Obviously, the chief support to that fight was Gavin McDonald picking up the WBC silver title in that same division. His brother Jamie potentially moving up to super bantamweight as well. Do you think maybe Jamie in particular could end up fighting Scott Quigg, or do you think both Frampton and Quigg might look to campaign at featherweight?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I think it was the press conference before when I was looking at both fighters, which is like 24 hours to the weigh-in. Out of the two fighters, I would say Scott Quigg looked the one that had dropped most weight on the scales. You know, he looked like he dropped quite a bit of weight from the press conference day before to the day of the weigh-in. So maybe he's struggling to make that weight more than Carl Frampton. If Jamie McDonald moves up a weight and maybe Scott Quigg and Maybe Jamie McDonald can get a fight on. Who knows? But Gavin McDonald, fantastic performance. Did really, really well. You know, he's going to be knocking on the door, I think, in the next couple of fights for that world title, without a doubt.
Yeah, we've had him on, and he says he's ready now. He'd take it next if it came up, but obviously willing to wait. What do you make of the progress that he's made over the last 18 months? It's just been phenomenal.
Oh, it's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's one of them things, you know, his brother's absolutely flying as a world champion, and it will rub off onto his brother. You know, Jamie going out to America twice and doing what he did in America, and Gavin's following in his brother's footsteps. You know, success breeds success, and when your brother's doing, you know, doing that well, it's only going to rub off onto you, and you're only going to perform even better.
Yeah, fantastic stuff for both McDonald's. Elsewhere, though, this week, Amir Khan and Canelo, they've been on their media tour around. It started Monday in London. Obviously, you've been face-to-face with Canelo Alvarez before, earlier in his career. Generally, about this fight, Khan-Canelo, what do you make of it?
Do you know what? When it got made, even still now, but when it got made, I thought it was one of them fights when I first seen the video footage and it got put them two together. I just thought it was a fight that people, you know, what if these two fall? What do you think happens? And then I got a call from Sky Sports News asking me to do an interview regarding it. And I was, even still now, I just really don't get the fight. I don't get Amir Khan only being up at welterweight for, I think, two or three fights. Not a big puncher at all at welterweight. And then he's moving up two weights to fight probably one of the biggest punching middleweights out there is in Canelo. I just don't get the fight. I thought the fight out there where... I look at it like this. I was thinking, if you're a Premier League football team, my thing is that, you know, if I was a Premier League football team, I'd want to win the Premier League first and foremost. Anything after that is a bonus. And this is what I don't get with Khan. If Khan wants to, you know, be the best fighter in Britain, he's got to fight Kell Brook. And I just don't get why he's going out to America to fight two weights above him, to not get as much money, not get as paid as much than what he would do facing Kell Brook. I just don't get the fight. I'm not taking nothing away from Khan. I think he's a great fighter. He's done absolutely fantastic as a fighter, but I just don't get the fight in fighting Canelo when there's a fight on his doorstep, fighting Kell Brook, becoming number one welterweight in Britain and earning probably twice as much money than what he would do fighting Canelo.
Do you feel it's one of those fights where you can face Canelo and lose it and probably not tarnish his reputation too much, but he certainly believes that he can cause a shock and beat Canelo. Do you not give him a chance having campaigned at the weight yourself?
Yeah, I just don't give him a chance. I really don't give him a chance. I just think he's going thinking into this fight. He gets a fight with Canelo. He's the underdog. He's meant to get beat. Maybe after the fight, then he turns around and says, well, you know, I tried going up two weights. It wasn't for me. Let's now Kell Brook and me get it on. But what's going to happen then is that fight's not going to be worth as much as what it is now. They're both doing well. They're both winning. Kell and Khan are winning. If Khan gets beat by Alvarez, which I really do believe he will, then the fight's not going to be worth as much as what it is now. They're both not. It's not going to be credible enough as what it is now. So I just don't get it.
And obviously leaves Kell Brook still searching for that big fight in the summer. Obviously, he's got to get through Kevin Bisier next in that mandatory defence. But as long as he does, obviously he's searching for that super fight. He was really hoping that it would be Amir Khan. where do you see him going in the summer? Obviously, Bradley Thurman's been delayed because of the injury to Thurman. Pacquiao still to face Bradley, but potentially the winner of that or just Tim Bradley could face. There's been talk of Miguel Cotto as well. Where do you see him going to get this big fight that he just craves?
Do you know what? I agree with everybody, what everybody's saying. Kell Brook needs that big, big fight. The problem is, out of all the organisation, the IBF is probably the most strict out of them all. You know, when you've got a mandatory after 9 months, you have to fight your mandatory regardless. And if you don't fight your mandatory, you get stripped. That's the bottom line with the IBF. They're probably at all the organisations, the WBO, the WBC and the WBA. The IBF, I would say, is the most strict. So he's got to fight Bisier. He's got to, without a doubt. So, but after that fight, if Kell Brook doesn't fight one of the big, big, big names out there, then, you know, Kell Brook is going to get loads of stick. And Eddie Hearn is probably going to put his money in, put his hand in his back pocket and get one of them big names over to England, or if not, get Kell Brook over to the States and get him in one of them big, big fights, because people are probably at the end of the tether now, and you know, and so they should be. We've all been waiting for Kell Brook to fight that big name. So if it does happen this summer, I don't know what Kell's going to do, because people are just going to, you know, fall out of love with Kell and get on Kell's case. But he has to fight a big, big name from America or from around the world. He has to.
Make sure to watch the space on that one. Obviously, looking forward to April the 9th, Anthony Joshua getting that world title shot against Charles Martin at the R2. Thoughts are on this one? Is it a tougher test than many are saying? Certainly the bookies are saying for Joshua.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough test, but I really do think Joshua will win. I really do think he will have his number. The only problem with that then is, all of a sudden, Anthony Joshua is going to be in the mix with the big boys, and I don't think he's ready to be in the mix with the big boys just yet. I think it's another year, you know, in learning his craft, learning what fighting at the top level is all about. But I think he will beat his next opponent. I think he will win the world title. But then the problem is, he's going to be in the mix with the rest of the big boys in America. And I don't know whether he's a year, just short of a year, with experience and his boxing ring craft.
Certainly going to be interesting. Obviously, we're still waiting for news on Tyson Fury facing Vladimir Klitschko in that rematch. There seems to be delays for whatever reason. Do you see this fight happening? Fury's kind of talked a few times about potentially going elsewhere, but it's, I suppose he'll be very frustrated at the moment, desperate for a date for this fight.
To be fair, I think it has to happen. I think it was already in the contract, so the fight has to happen. For what reasons, I don't know why it's not been made or it's not scheduled just yet, but I believe the fight has to happen. And I think it's only a matter of time before it gets made. But I still think Tyson Fury has Klitschko's number. I just think he's one of them fighters that Klitschko fights on confidence, and Tyson Fury does not give him no confidence. You know, he seems to get into fighters' heads, and that's what he does exactly with Klitschko. He got in Klitschko's head. And Klitschko didn't know how to handle that.
We shall look forward to all of these big fights. Ryan, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime, no problem.